Blog Talk Radio.
Amen. We praise God for you, and you. We are running in from a long day of work, and we praise God for another wonderful Wednesday night of Blog Talk Radio. It is I, your host, Reverend Willie J. Vann Jr., bringing you greetings from the nation's capital of Washington, D.C. We are so grateful and so thankful that you have decided to join us here tonight. We are, as always, excited and anticipate a word from God. We are so grateful for Reconciliation Ministries and partnering with Omega Ministry Group. We thank the Lord for the leaders of Omega Ministry Group, which are Reverend Dr. Jesse Store and Sister Tammy Store. We thank God for their lives and for their blessing and how God is using them to be a blessing to so many others who want to share the ministry of reconciliation, who understand, who understand the ministry of reconciliation and understand that if it had not been for Christ who was on our side and what he has done for us, how he has given us life through the Holy Spirit and because of our Father who has sent him and who is our Father, who is a wonderful Father and who has blessed us, we give thanks to the Trinity and we praise God from where all blessings flow. Well, as always, we understand the power of prayer. And before we get into tonight's study, which would be a little different than normal, I will tell you, we anticipating a good word from the Lord tonight. But we understand the power of prayer. And we understand prayer is an effective and effective tool that God has given us. We know that we had direct access to God our Father through the power of the Holy Spirit. And because of that, then we ought to pray often. So without further ado, let us have a word from, or let's speak and have a word to our Father. Lord God, we are so grateful. We are so thankful. Before we even ask of anything, before we even ask and request, we first want to just say to you, thank you. We are thankful because you have given us life. We are thankful because you have sent your Son to redeem us. And then you allow the Holy Spirit to not cover over us, but to dwell within us. We thank you for grace and mercy, but most of all, your love. For it is your love that covers over a multitude of sins. So we thank you, Lord God, for allowing that love to cover our sins. We thank you for also that love gives us power and anointing. That love allows us to be your children, to be the type of children that will have power and authority, the same power and authority that you gave mankind back in the beginning. And because of that authority, because of that power, because you have allowed us to be heirs and joint heirs in that power. We just say thank you. We are so grateful and so appreciative that you have given us this time to look into your word, something tonight that will be shared, that it will give your people inspiration. It will give people, it will allow them to know, to be better and to do better. Again, Lord God, we are so grateful that you have allowed us this moment. And even through the busyness of today, and it's been a busy day, we still thank you for this portion of strength that you have given us. We thank you, Lord God, for this anointing that you have given us. And then we thank you, Lord God, for this time that you've given us. We ask that you bless those who are listening. Again, Lord God, encourage them to be better and to do better through your word and through your will. Lord God, we ask this by the power, by your power, by your anointing. In the name of your Son, who is our Savior, and his name is Jesus the Christ, we say amen, amen, and amen. Again, we are so grateful and so thankful that you have decided to join us. We know that we have some people that tune in live, and then we have some people that listen to the rebroadcast. As always, we want to participate. We want your participation. So if there's anyone that would like to that have a question or a comment, or you can press 1 on your phone, and then by pressing 1 on your phone, then we will be able to unmute your mic. All mics are muted, so you can make all the noise you want to. We can't hear you. But you press 1 on your phone, and then I will be able to unmute. I see the acknowledgement and be able to unmute your mic. And then for those who are listening to the rebroadcast, then you can always send me an email at jvan91@yahoo.com. Again, J-A-Y, V is in victory, A-N-N, 91@yahoo.com. For the last several weeks, we have been talking about working. And God has given us the attitude that we ought to work. And we talked about where you should work and why you should work. Now we want to talk about this week. God led me in a very interesting way today and yesterday. We understand that on yesterday, the Vice President, Joe Biden, who is running for the presidency of the United States of America, finally chose a running mate, a VP, and it is Senator her name just escaped my mind just that fast. Thank you, Lord God. Help me. Wow, this is unbelievable. I'm about to say, not Mike Pence. Harris, thank you. Kamala Harris, thank you. I appreciate that. Kamala Harris, appreciate that. The alley-oop. Kamala Harris, out of the great state of California. We understand that Senator Harris is if she is elected, or if they win, if Joe Biden and her win, that she will be the first female vice president, and then the first black vice president of the United States of America. And we, Senator Harris is 55 years old. She is an African American. Again, she is the senator in California, and she's been the senator there for the last 3 years. Prior to becoming the senator, she was a lawyer. She practiced law, and after being a lawyer for so many years, she was the attorney general for California. But I want us to sort of do a comparison and contrast. One of the things that I see in her being nominated as the running mate for Joe Biden, you have a lot of people who are upset with Joe Biden's choice of her. You have a lot of people who are excited about her choice. And I thought about that and said, wow, isn't that interesting? You have one person, and because of the decision of someone else, you have a number of people who are either happy or sad. And I thought about the fact that there are times in our lives that people will not be happy with the decisions of others. I know you might have been in a situation where on your job, your boss, your supervisor might have put you in a position. And because they put you in the position, you had others who were not happy about that, about your boss's decision or choice. Thought about that, and the Holy Spirit led me to Samuel 15 and 16. It is a lot of reading, but I want to read, and if you spent any time in church, you have know this story. But I really want to deal with Samuel 16, and we're going to read several verses, maybe let's read the first 13 verses. We're going to read Samuel 16, verses starting at verse 1 through 13. I'll be reading the NIV translation. The word of the Lord reads, again, Samuel chapter 16, starting at verse 1. The Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you mourn for Saul, since I have rejected him as king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and be on your way. I am sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem, chosen one of his sons to be king." But Samuel said, "How can I go? If Saul hears about it, he will kill me." The Lord said, "Take a heifer with you, and say, 'I have come to sacrifice to the Lord.' Invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what to do. You are to anoint for me the one I decided or dictated." Samuel, verse 4, Samuel did what the Lord said. When he arrived at Bethlehem, the elders of the town trembled when they met him. They asked, "Do you come in peace?" Samuel replied, "Yes, in peace. I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Concentrate yourselves and come to the sacrifice with me." Then he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. When they arrived, Samuel saw Eliab and thought, "Surely the Lord's anointing stands here before the Lord." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." Then Jesse called Abinadab and had him pass in front of Samuel. But Samuel said, "The Lord has not chosen this one either." Jesse then had Shechem pass by, but Samuel said, "Nor has the Lord chosen this one." Jesse had seven of his sons pass before Samuel, but Samuel said to him, "The Lord has not chosen these." So he asked Jesse, Are these all your sons you have?" "There is still the youngest," Jesse answered. "He is tending the sheep." Samuel said, "Send for him. We will not sit down until he arrives." So he sent for him and had him brought in. He was glowing with health and had a fine appearance and had handsome features. Then the Lord said, "Rise and anoint him. This is the one." So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David. Samuel then went to Rehum. So we read into your hearing 1 Samuel chapter 16, verses 1 through 13. And it basically talks about the anointing or first the selection of David. So I want to make the comparison and the contrast of Kamala Harris being the anointed one. Now, let's get this from the very beginning. I am not saying that she is not going to have any wrong or she's not going to do any wrong. I'm not saying that I don't want to disrespect her. Let's just talk about the comparison, and then we can then the Holy Spirit can give us our conclusion. When we look at this story First Samuel chapter 15 talks about the fact that because of the disobedience of King Saul, Saul was the first king of Israel. We understand that Israel was ruled by judges, and then the people of Israel cried out and said, "We want a king. We want a king." And God said to this nation, "Why would you want a king when you have me, and I have set judges before you?" And they said, "Well, we want to be like every other kingdom. We want to be like every other country, like every other nation, and we want a king." So God blessed and anointed Saul as the first king of Israel. Well, King Saul did well. He was good for a number of years. And then he kind of got beside himself, for the lack of a better word. He decided that he was going to do things his way and not carry out the instructions that God had given him. He was having, he would talk to God, and then Samuel would also speak to God on his behalf and bring him information what God wanted him to say and or hear. And King Saul got to a place where God rejected him. Now, the first thing I want to pull out tonight for us is that just because God has blessed us for a purpose and a job does not mean that when we get to that, when we are doing and performing and that God has been blessing, that we forget that it is God who has blessed us. It is God who has placed us. It is God who gives us wisdom and understanding and the anointing to perform the job and the duties that we're doing. Oh, I hear you fighting back. I hear you saying, well, what do you mean? Have you ever got into a position where you were doing something, you were given a task, and the task is you decide you've been given instructions, and then you say to yourself, I'm not going to listen to the instructions no more. I'm going to do it my way. See, that's the same attitude that Saul had. Saul, at first, listened to God, followed the directions of God. And then he got to a place where he said, I no longer need God because I can do it myself. Sounds sort of similar to an orange-haired man that we call 45 or the president that we have now, where he has made proclamations that he has done more for African Americans than any other president, that he has done more for Christians just as much as Jesus has done. He makes all these proclamations that we are nothing without him. And so God has this attitude, or God decides that he is no longer going to anoint Saul as king, and that he is going to take his anointing and now place it on someone else. So here we have God speaking to his prophet, to his manservant, Samuel, and gives him the instructions on what he should do in order to choose this next king. He says that you ought to go and speak to this man named Jesse, and I have now chosen the next king to come from his lineage, to come from his son. And what we ought to do or understand is that because God is giving him the instructions, he wants to be totally obedient, but he has questions about it. Now, I know you come from the old school just like I did, and you come from the old school where they will tell you that you should never question God. And I'm telling you that you can question God, but it's just in how you do it. As we've been said, or as we have said many times, it's not how you say it, or excuse me, it's not what you say, but it is how you say it. See, God is our Father, and just as we would talk to our parent, there is a way of asking or even questioning the instructions that our parents give to us. Now, you can say to them, you know what, I understand your instructions, but I have concern about this, this, this. And then normally your parent will reassure you and give you the instructions and break it down a little bit more, or they will give you additional instructions, just as we have read. God gave Samuel the instructions to go to Jesse's house. And Samuel says, man, if I go and anoint the new king, the current king is going to kill me. He's going to hear about it, and he's going to kill me. And then God says, well, what I need you to do is take a cow, a heifer. That's what a heifer is, a cow. And go and say that you are going to perform a sacrifice to me. So God gives additional instructions so that Samuel can be assured that he will not be killed and that he has additional instructions. So it is for us. We need to get to a place that even when we have some doubt, even when we have some fear, and we know that we should have faith over fear, but that faith over fear will lead you to a place where you'll go and ask God, God, I just don't understand this. You know, I hear what you're saying, and I know what you're saying, but I just don't see it. Can you make it plain? Can you? And God, because he is such a loving father, will allow you to either, he will give you additional instructions, or he'll tell you, just trust and obey. It's going to be one or the other. And we pray that you will always obey the will of God. Despite the fact if you're able to understand, despite the fact if you don't see how it's going to work out, but just the fact that you know, because it is the instructions that comes from God, that, hey, I need to go ahead and do it. So here we see Samuel goes to Jesse's house, and then he asks Jesse, bring all your sons here, because I need to concentrate you, all of you all, for the sacrifice. But then in that, I'm going to anoint the new king of Israel. And it's going to come from your house, Jesse. So bring all of your sons. So Jesse lines up his sons. And I can only imagine Jesse says, okay, it's got to be the firstborn. And then he brings one son after another son after another son. And he brings all of these sons, and God is saying, nope, that's not the one. Nope, that's not the one. Nope, that's not the one. After seven sons, all with a stamp of no. And then Samuel says to Jesse, well, are all these your sons? Where are all your sons at? He said, yeah, they're all except one, who happens to be the youngest one. But he's tending the sheep. He's working right now. And Samuel says, well, fetch him. Tell him to come. I need to see him. Because I know the word of God says that the next king is going to come from your seed, from your lineage. So I need to see all your sons. So Jesse sends for his son, which happens to be David, who is the youngest. And then when David arrives, God tells Samuel to arise and anoint this one. I need you to anoint this one because I have a purpose for him. I have a job for him. I have work for him to do. And because of that work, this great work, and because of the fact that he has been working, and because of the fact of his past, I need you to anoint him to be the next king of Israel. And it says that in the last part, or what we read, verse 12, it says, so he sent for him and had him brought in. He was glowing with health and had a fine appearance and handsome features. Then the Lord said, rise and anoint him. This is the one. And this is the blessing. Verse 13. So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David. Saul then went to Rahab. So here we see the fact that because of the obedience of Samuel and the obedience of Jesse and the work ethics of David, he is anointed the new king. Now, and it says that the anointing of God was with him powerfully from that point forward. What I'm trying to paint up the background is that though King Saul, once he hears about this, and you can read in chapter 16, the second part of 16 and 1 Samuel 17, where Saul hears about this anointing and hears the fact that there is going to be a new king and his name is David. He sends for him and has him working for him in the palace. But then there comes a time where Saul gets upset and jealous and tries to actually kill David. So I'm saying to you, and so I am saying about Kamala Harris, Senator Harris, there will be people that will be upset at your elevation. There will be people that will want to ultimately try to kill you, will try to destroy you, because God has anointed you to do a specific job and a specific destiny. Now, does that mean that Senator Harris and Vice President Biden, that they won't make mistakes? No, it doesn't. Does that mean that they will never fail? No, it doesn't. Because if you remember over the life of David had committed many offenses to God. But yet, God always forgave him and still said that his spirit was going to be upon him. And it says here that it was upon him powerfully. I mean, God even brags about David and says that David is a man after my own heart. Do you think that God doesn't know that David is going to kill this man named Urias, and then sleep with his wife, Bathsheba, and then have a child out of wedlock with Bathsheba? You don't think that God knows that? You don't think that even he allowed Urias to be killed, that even David's own sons would try to sleep with his sister because of the disobedient, and then his brother kills his sister, and then David has to deal with the fact that his son killed his daughter. God knows all of that. But yet, God says that David is a man after his own heart. What I need you to realize is that despite whatever you've been through, God wants to elevate you so that you can fulfill the duties, the responsibilities, and the job that he has for your life. What he wants to do is find you working. So there's no time just to sit back all the time. But there is work for you to do. And the funny thing is that the work that you're doing now is actually a practice run of what God wants you to really do. I mean, he found David, or he anointed David, and David was no more than a sheep herder. But then he anoints him to be the king. And the responsibility of the king is to look over the people, to make sure that the people are well taken care of, just as a shepherd would make sure that the sheep are well taken care of, that they are protected. So, though there might be some that will not be happy with Joe Biden's choice of Kamala Harris, and to be real, some people are not happy with the Democratic convention choice of Joe Biden. But it is our responsibility to pray for these two people, to pray that God is using them and God is anointing them and leading them and guiding them so that his people can prosper even more. Now, again, does that mean that they won't make mistakes? No. Does that mean that they're going to do everything and look out for only black people? Or, I'm sorry, African American? No. Does it mean that they're going to just look out that all of this systematic racism that America has been going through for the last over 600 years, is it going to be all wiped away in a matter of a couple of months or in 4 years? No. But we don't know how God is going to anoint these people to be a blessing to the kingdom of God. It is my prayer that I'm going to pray for them. No, I'm not Saul. No, I didn't get a word from God saying that these are the two anointed ones, or that I'm supposed to go and anoint them. But God did tell me and show me that what we are experiencing today has happened before. And when you look at the situation, when you look at the story, it's very similar to what's going on with our today politics. So again, I would never tell you who to vote for, but I will encourage you to make sure that you go out and vote. And not just for the presidential candidate, but for those who are your congresspeople, your mayors, your city officials, your school boards. And it is those who are closer to you, and that it is their responsibility to cover and make sure that you are okay. But beyond that, maybe God is calling you. Or not maybe, God is calling you. And God is placing you in a position where he wants you to go and do his will. First, you got to sit down and be still long enough to find out what his will is for your life. And then once you find out what his will is for your life, then it is your responsibility to ask him, okay, God, I know that you want me to do this, so how should I go and do this? And I promise you, God will respond and give you instructions. And then you'll be the anointed one to go out and change the world. Let us pray. We thank you, Father, for this time of study. We thank you for this time of understanding and studying the example that you've given us. We understand, Lord God, that you told Samuel to go and anoint the next king because of the disobedience of Saul, that he was to go to a man's house and look at his sons and then anoint one of his sons to be the next king. It just so happened to be the youngest and the smallest of all his sons. We thank you for the life of King David. We understand that it wasn't a perfect life, and we understand that there were times of disobedience, but because you anointed him, your anointing pushed him to be able to change the world. So now here we are, Lord God. We ask for that same anointing to go out and change the world. We pray for that same anointing to fall on Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. We pray, Lord God, that you will guide their steps, guide their lives, that they will make a positive change in the United States of America. We ask, Lord God, that you will bless and that you will do. We give you honor and praise in Jesus' name. We say amen. We thank God for each and every one of you all. We do have some time. If you have a question, you can press 1 on your phone, and I will be able to, if you have a question or comment, you can press 1 on the phone on your phone, and I will be able to unmute your mic. If you are listening to the rebroadcast, then you can send me an email at jvan@91@yahoo.com. That's javan@gsa.com. I'm about to give you my email, my work email. I apologize. That's javan91@yahoo.com. There you go. JVan91@yahoo.com. We will ask that you tune in on Monday nights from 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock. We have the Stores, Reverend Dr. Jesse Store and his wife, Minister Tammy Store, as they speak and talk about oneness, about marriage ministry, couples ministry, but they're on every Monday night from 8 to 9. From 9 to 10, we have Minister Miss Leah Killings, and she's on from 9 to 10. It's Yours Truly every Wednesday night from 8:30 to 9:30. And then on Thursday nights from 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock, Bishop George Flint. And then on Saturdays from 1 to 2, we have Minister Amos Joseph Collins. We thank God for all of these men and women who share in the Word of God, who share their gifts and their talents, and God uses them. So I'm going to end with this song. I pray again that you will allow the anointing of God to fall on your life, that He will use you to go out and change the world. And maybe not the whole world, but maybe the world that you are around. Maybe start off in your house, and then maybe your neighborhood, and then maybe your city, and then maybe your state, and then the world. But allow God to use you to be a blessing. As always, peace and love, Reverend Willie J. Van.
Give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. I give myself away. So you can, come on, let him know. I give myself away. I give myself away. So you can use me. I give myself away. What would happen if a generation embrace this? Come on, tell him. Here I am.
Here I am.
By you.